Jonah chapter 3 and verses 2 to 4. But I will read from verse 1 to get the sense. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. Probably took 3 days to cross it. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. What I want to concentrate on in this short discourse is this. The preaching. Jonah's preaching. And there are two things I want to say about it, in the main. First of all, it was God's command that he should preach. And then we see the nature of his preaching. God was going to bless Nineveh through Jonah. And the way he was going to do it was by the instrumentality of this man's preaching. We've seen how disobedient he could be, and it's an encouragement to us. God uses rebels and sinners and failures. I'm not excusing it, as I say many times, but it's a wonderful thing that God uses mortals. We have this treasure in vessels of clay, said the apostle. And Jonah proves it here. But God is going to bless Nineveh. And the means he's going to use is the preaching of this man. Now, this is Old Covenant times. Even more, we're not in Israel now, we're not in Judah, we're in Nineveh, a pagan city. So we're way, way out from Israel and from the Old Covenant even. And yet there are principles here which come over to us today in the New Covenant. Go to the great city and proclaim. Go and proclaim. You could translate that, preach. But the word means proclaim, declare, herald, lift up your voice. Jonah went to the city and he proclaimed. He didn't mumble into his beard. He didn't look out the window or at the ventilator, as Spurgeon said. He preached directly to the people. He proclaimed. He was a herald. I know I've used the illustration before, but I'm speaking from the United Kingdom, from England. And some time ago I had a shop in an East Anglian seaside town. And in that town they had a town crier. And people could hire him to make announcements. And he would make his stand at various places in this seaside place. And one stand he had was opposite my shop. I had a shop there in this town. And he would come and he would stand there and ring his bell and lift up his voice, and his voice would run all the way down the street. All he was announcing was that there would be a sale at a certain shop, or prices were half price today, the prices were cut to half price today, or something. But the truth is, he was a heralding something. And that's a graphic picture of what preaching is. It's not lecturing. It's not delivering a digest of thoughts. I'm not really preaching here. This is, in a way, this is a misrepresentation of what preaching should be. I should be lifting up my voice, and I should be proclaiming, urging, impressing. And Jonah was heralding here. And he was heralding the message that God had given him. And that's another point, I would say. We must preach, and we must preach God's message. And by message, I don't mean my notes. I mean God's revelation, God's rhema, God's word, God's gospel in our New Covenant day. 1 Corinthians 1:17 on into chapter 2 and on. Read those verses, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17 and on. And you cannot miss that Paul places his tremendous emphasis upon preaching and preaching the gospel. We must preach what God has revealed to us. He started in the city, he proclaimed 40 more days. And Nineveh will be overturned. Where did he find that? The word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, it says in verse 1. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, it says in verse 3. The word of the Lord. And in verse 2 it's direct. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. We don't learn it in books, in seminaries. We get it from God. We want God's word. We want God's message. John Berridge, said he, a man who lived very close to where I'm living now, a quaint man, but you may have heard of him, but he would say, we want bread fresh baked from the oven. What did he mean by that? He didn't want dry, stale to preaching. He wanted a living word from God, and he wanted to deliver that to the people. And so Jonah is a preacher, and a preacher of God's word, not man's word, not his own ideas. He doesn't set up campaigns and adverts and organizations and counseling meetings and helping people and setting up stores to help them with their soup kitchens and pay their debts. He preaches, declares God's word to this people. This is what we need. We need God's given message to the people. We want our voices raised. And what's the subject? What's the burden of his preaching? Well, it's judgment. Now, of course, I've said we're in the Old Covenant, and we're even outside of Israel. But judgment is a vital part of the ministry of the gospel, even. Read the Gospels and see Jesus preaching. The warnings come thick and fast throughout the New Testament. And here, Jonah is going, he thinks, hopelessly, just simply announcing, declaring, proclaiming God's judgment. In 40 days, this city is going to be destroyed. There's a violence about his preaching here. There's a, not a physical violence, but a warning violence. And he's addressing people who won't want to hear what he's saying. Now, we're in the gospel day, so we preach the gospel. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel, said the apostle. I've already referred to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. But there is a warning. Unless you repent, you will perish. But there is the mercy in the gospel. And I want you to think about the mercy in Jonah's preaching too. You see, although it's all judgment, notice the 40 days. Why did God say in 40 days? I believe it's Romans 2:4. God's kindness was leading them to repentance. He was giving them opportunity. And he went to people who didn't want to hear it, pagans, declaring God's judgment. But in fact, it was God offering them mercy if they repent. Why would God tell them? Why would he give them 40 days if he intended merely to damn them? Unbeliever, can't you see this? I tell you that it's appointed unto you once to die, and after this, the judgment. I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish. I tell you, you're under the wrath of God now. Now, that's a miserable message, you might say. But why am I telling you? Why does God tell you? If he just merely intended to damn you, he wouldn't tell you. He wouldn't warn you. You're still alive. You haven't died yet. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, now come to the Lord now. That's why God is saying this to you. This is the purpose of the gospel, is to warn you of your state, but to invite you, to urge you, to press you, to plead with you to come to Jesus and be saved. There's mercy in it. Ezekiel 33, God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. 2 Peter chapter 3, you can see that he's willing to save. He desires to save. You may say, well, why doesn't he save everybody? God is sovereign, and I can't answer for him. I don't answer for him. I can't explain. But I know that God, in the midst of judgment and midst of wrath, offers mercy. And even in this short discourse, my purpose is to say we must preach the solemn parts of God's word. But even in doing that, it is offering mercy to sinners. Even as I speak to you now, I'm offering Christ to you. If you repent and believe, whatever your past, Christ will wash you from your sins and present you faultless before God. So Jonah went preaching, not arranging other things and doing other stunts. He preached. He preached. He preached the message God gave him. That was a judgmental message. But it was, in fact, the offer of mercy. What's the alternative? If God had not sent Jonah, if there was silence, if you hadn't turned into this discourse, if you hadn't heard this morning, or this evening, or this afternoon, whenever you're hearing it, if you hadn't listened to this, if you hadn't heard of judgment, if you never knew that you would perish unless you came to Christ, what would that say? Can't you see that God is offering you mercy, unspeakable mercy, in even this feeble discourse? Brother and sister, let us go on lifting up the gospel, lifting up Christ above all in the gospel. May we lift up our voices. May we go to our Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that God gives us. You say, well, they're not sensible sinners. What's that? There are those who think we can only preach the gospel to sensible sinners. Those who are regenerate, those who are awakened, those who know they're sinners and want to be saved. Rubbish. Go to Nineveh and preach it. I'm reminded of Spurgeon's story when he challenged the hyper-Calvinists of his day. He said, imagine you're dropped down in darkest Africa, and out of the jungle comes the men with blood on their mouths and lips and cheeks. They're cannibals. What would you say to them? They're not sensible sinners. What would you say? This is what he said. I would say, men and brethren, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, whether I use his terminology, whether I use his text, I don't know. But that's the burden of it. Christ died for sinners. You're a sinner. Trust Christ and you will be saved. But I'm not a sensible sinner. I've never heard this before. I care not. Come to Jesus Christ, for all who come to him will be saved. I'm not asking how you come and the way you come. I say, come by faith, trusting Christ. When I say the way you've come and the past you've had, I'm not talking about your sensibility or otherwise. You may be living in darkest Nineveh. Come to Christ, and you will be saved. So it's preaching God's word, and may God bless it. Even in the midst of judgment, may he remember mercy, and have mercy upon sinners, even in this short discourse. Brother and sister, let us go on preaching Christ.